All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Friday on The Usual Suspects. F yeah, it is. That's why we call it an F yeah Friday. And Nick said F yeah before the show because Barry's not here, which means more time for Nick. So me and Nick are here. Nick doing double duty with no extra pay, which is complete horse bleep.
You're going to open the show like that, huh?
I am, because just you like deserve that. More. You're double dutying.
I am double dutying, but I'm happy to be here.
Yeah,
Barry lives quite close to the big city wings.
Go ahead. Give Barry Dick Darnold all the excuses you need. He
that
sold
the
Blitz us out.
Is going to be broadcasting from, so.
He sold us out so that he could help AJ out, dude, because, you know, AJ can't have anything happen to his show, so he pilfers from other shows.
Not nice, AJ.
No, not nice at all.
And the worst feeling is when you're sitting in that prep room and you think you have 5 or 6 or 7 more minutes before the show starts, and it's 12:58.
And I tell you this, and you don't believe me.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was like, no, it's not 12:50.
You weren't just shocked. You chastised me. You said, no one ever messes with me with the clock before. I'm like, well, okay, then I'm not going to be the first. I'm letting you know that we have 2 minutes.
I panicked because I ran, got my laptop, had to run down the hall, get all ready in producer mode / co-host mode.
You need to slug a couple cups of that coffee.
I made the coffee. So if anybody passes out or dies in the hallway, it's because I made the coffee. Yep.
Yep. So anything happened last night to you that strikes a nerve?
I went home, had some food with the family, mm-hmm. and basically was just looking forward to that NBA Finals game, to be honest with you. I really wanted to see if the Warriors could force a game 7. They weren't able to do that. Unfortunate situation, but we don't want to take away anything from the Raptors, as they say. Don't minimize their championship. But yeah, that's all I did. I went home, ate with the fam, then watched the game. I did
about the same. I did a bunch of stuff around the house and then flipped on the game and checked it out. And you just got to, whether you're a Warriors hater or a Warriors lover, you got to feel for them because that injury to Klay was not good. Already reported to be torn ACL. So that's not good news. But like you said, I'm happy for Toronto. I'm happy for everybody but Drake and my boy Kyle Lowry, Jeremy Lin, Nick Nurse, a former Rockets D-League head coach. A lot of guys getting their ring, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, Nick Nurse, I mean, they describe him as a rookie NBA coach, but he's not necessarily a guy that's unfamiliar with basketball. He's familiar with the game. He knows the game. He tries real hard.
Well, he's coached all over the world.
Yeah, and then he steps in with this Toronto Raptors team, and it's really a new environment, new scene for him. So he deserves a lot of credit as well, no question.
Absolutely. So we'll get to some of that. You know how you were saying that kind of uneasy, queasy feeling you get when you realize you don't have that much time for the start of the show? I got it last night, and it still hasn't gone away. So Lisa's car, I'm sure just like ours, and you and I have Toyotas, but you have, instead of a key anymore, you just have the little remote deal.
Yeah.
So we got a backup remote.
Okay.
And it stays by the back door because before I go to bed, I always move Lisa's car right next to the back door so she doesn't have to walk anywhere at 3 o'clock in the morning when she goes to work. Well, I don't even think twice about it. And Lisa yesterday, about 7 o'clock, goes, "Hey, have you seen that thing?" And I'm like, "It's by the back door." And she goes, "Hadn't been there in about a week." And I started thinking about it. I go, "Yeah, I've been using your regular keys lately. Where is it?" Dude, I tore up all of my laundry, all of the hamper, all of my shorts, all of the jackets I possibly could, anything I could have worn, and I can't find the thing.
Can't find it anywhere.
Cannot find it anywhere. And I don't know how they do that. Like, obviously, with car keys, you could just get another key made.
Yeah.
So I had to call the dealership, and the general manager doesn't even know. He says he's going to get back to me by the time we're done with the show today. But he's like, "I don't know." I was like, "Can you, like, reprogram another one? How does that work?" And he goes, "I'll have to get back to you. I have no clue."
So
like,
you need a new key.
The replacement key. I mean, obviously she has hers, but if something happens to that thing, we are SOL and no one's driving that car.
I'm gonna guess. I'm gonna say this is gonna cost you what? 3 bills.
It better not.
At the very minimum.
It better not. I was thinking if it's in the $75 range, I can
handle it. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. But I don't know.
That's so crazy.
Freaked me the hell out.
See, my sister bought me this little, like, I guess from either the Apple store or some random store where you can, like, attach things to keys, your wallet, your phones, things that you might misplace all the time like I do. Like, mm-hmm. I misplace my phone and my keys all the time. Like, it's ridiculous. Every time I'm about to leave and walk out that door, I'm looking for my keys. I'm looking for my wallet. I don't have a routine. I'm very bad about it. But I never use it.
I saw that today when we get ready for the show.
I know. I don't really.
So it's like an alarm, right?
Yeah. So like when you misplace it, there's like you have it hung somewhere. You push the button. Like if you're looking for your phone, there's one labeled for your phone. You push the button. It makes a noise in the house. You can locate your phone.
I asked him that. I was like, because I know there's certain remote controls for the TV and stuff like that where you can do that too. And I asked the GM, I was like, dude, is there a way that you could just press a button or something like that to trace it? Because I literally tore up my closet, the garage, looked under the seats of both cars. I'm looking all over the place, and it's not that small of a thing. It's got like a little leather case to it.
Right.
And I'm going, it has to be. And Lisa's not worried. She's like, babe, it'll show up somewhere. By this weekend, we'll have found it. I'm like, are you kidding?
You'll find it when you're not looking for it.
I'll find it after I pay the money to get another one.
Exactly.
That's what's going to happen.
When you're not looking for it.
Yep.
That's going to be the worst feeling. That's happened to me so many times, especially with driver's license. I'll lose my driver's license. I'll lose my ID, get a new ID, then find the old one.
Yep.
That's probably happened to me twice.
Yeah, see, and I'm the kind of guy, I don't lose anything. Like, even when I lived in Midtown by myself, all the guys used to call my garage the pro shop because I didn't put any of my sports stuff in the house. It was all in the garage. So yeah. It was all the shoes and the golf stuff and everything like that. But if someone came in and decided, like, one of my buddies came in and decided to try and, like, I'm going to try these shoes or I'm going to like try these golf clubs. And I'd walk in the garage and go, where are those shoes? And they're looking at me like I'm nuts. I go, nope, I know. You may think that this is a tidal wave of a mess. I know where everything is. And I'm telling you right now, I don't lose things. So it drove me nuts. Like Lisa went to bed last night and she came out to get some water or something like that. She looked at me and she goes, are you okay? And she's like, you're supposed to be relaxed watching the game. I'm like,
no,
I'm still thinking about that damn remote. I can't find it. It's driving me nuts.
Yeah, I'm a guy that loses a lot, but I don't go. You remind me of my dad in that regard. Honestly, I ain't gonna lie, because when he loses something, oh my god, he was way more organized than I ever was. So if he lost something, it would drive him absolutely crazy.
Yeah, same way. I hate it, and she knows that too. And she's like, "Don't worry about it. We can look for it tomorrow." Oh no, I was already before going to bed. I was leaving myself notes of other places, my gym bag. Places to check things. I'm like, this thing is driving me absolutely bonkers.
Yeah. No question. No question.
So then I want to drop Taylor at school this morning. I want to get right home to keep looking for it. And all of a sudden I pull in, and it's like 7:45. And I pull in and I'm like, why are there all these cars? Normally I can park right as close to them. I'm like, what's going on? And I get out of the car and the principal comes out and goes, happy daddies and donuts day. Are you ready for your daughter? And it's some breakfast. And I went, I'm sorry, what? She goes, you forgot today was Donuts with Daughters Day? And I was like, oh, man.
Donuts with Daughters Day?
Yeah, and then you walk in and the kids get screwed. So you walk in and the kids are supposed to eat cornflakes while the dads are gorging on all these different Shipleys. And I already know Taylor. Taylor goes, Taylor, I got it. Don't worry, you can have my donut because I wasn't going to eat it anyway. But she was already going to make a fuss like, Daddy, I want the donut. I was like, I'll get it for you. You just sit down. I'll take care of you. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching. I'm going, gosh, you could eat this donut quicker. But I sat there and had the donut, watched her eat the donut and drink her milk. And I dropped her off at class. And I was like, all right, that was nice. But now I got to get back to finding the remote, which I did not find.
So none of the kids had the donuts or was it really just yours? Let's be honest.
I don't know.
The kids wanted some donuts.
They did, but most of the parents were making them eat the cornflakes. I'm like, what kind of communistic parents do you have? Let the kid eat. Fridays are big for Taylor because whether you get donuts or not in the morning, Fridays are the whole school gets Domino's pizza for lunch.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And she loves pizza.
Sure. Why not? Wouldn't you? You're a kid.
She wakes up and the two things, like Lisa, because the fashionista, Lisa dresses her with all, she wakes up and she goes, Daddy, I got to get dressed right now. I go, Taylor, you don't have to go to school for another hour. She goes, no. I got a new dress. I got to put the new dress on because it's Fancy Nancy. And then today's pizza day. And I love pizza. I'm like, man, you're just like your mom.
The best thing about eating pizza as a kid is that there's like zero pickiness. Like, every pizza is good pizza. It could be from Little Caesars. It could be from Papa John's, Domino's. It does not matter. It could be the cheapest pizza in the world, and you'll absolutely eat it. That's the best thing about eating pizza as a child, for sure.
And I didn't mention that to you because you're right, because she only likes Domino's. I mean, she'll eat Domino's. She'll eat anything, really. Lisa's always like, don't go to Falbo Brothers for her. Well, I'm just ordering Domino's.
Why not Falbo Brothers?
Because she says it's too fancy for her, because she just eats, like, cheese pizza.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So she gets the cheese pizza last weekend for her, and all of a sudden she looks at me and she goes, because she hates bringing this to me because she knows I'm going to do something about it. She goes, babe, while you were tipping the delivery guy, I opened the pizza. The middle section of the pizza is missing. I go, what do you mean missing? She goes, there's like a circle in the at the exact middle of the pizza where all the toppings gone. You can just see a little of the crust. I'm like, oh, hell no. Nuh-uh. And you look, and it's not stuck to the top of the box. There's no sign of it anywhere.
Someone ate the pizza.
So I called them. And I was like, I want to make sure this is the Domino's. And he's like, yeah, we made that pizza. And I was like, okay. And he's like, yeah, I don't know what happened. And I was like, is that it? And he's like, no. We can either send you another one over, or we can get, I'll write this number down, and we'll just give you another one next time. And I was like, okay, do you know what happened? He's like, nah, I'm just. And finally, after about 5 minutes, he goes, oh, yeah, sorry about that. We're going to try and make sure it doesn't happen again. I was like, I'm going to order there quickly.
Jeez. I'd just say send me another one and make sure you don't mess it up, sir.
But she never eats we always have leftovers for her anyway, so I didn't need another pizza in the fridge. But yeah, I get it. And I said, right off the top, I said, hey, brother, I'm calling, but I'm not calling so you spit on the next pizza that I get, because I don't want it like that.
Yeah, see, that's the other thing. Actually, you're right. I probably wouldn't order the other pizza, and I'd be afraid of them spitting at it. 100%.
Because you know the note doesn't just say, these people get credit next time. It says something about Hockaloogie in the crust or something. So.
Yeah.
All right, we're just getting started on a Friday. We got a comedian of the week. We're going to tell you all about him. And, of course, you are suspects, so you are free and clear to join the show. HRP Listener Line, 713-780-3776. You can call that number, text that number. Hit us on Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and unknown co-host. We'll be back with a whole lot more. This is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. I moved here a couple of years ago from Ireland, and I love your Irish restaurants over here. They're so authentic, you know? I'm a big fan of the quesadillas. Really just remind me of home, you know? I was in one of these restaurants not so long ago. I saw this on the menu. Irish nachos. Fantastic. While I'm at it, why don't I try some of that famous Canadian sushi? Here's the thing, I like Irish food, I like Mexican food. Just advertise the place so I know what to expect, you know? Like, do you like stew and fajitas? Well, come on down to Taco Flanagan's.
Hey, there you have it. Our comedian of the week with a special caveat, that's Sean Finnerty. And he was supposed to be at the Joke Joint this weekend as a headliner. But as Barry told you all yesterday, the Joke Joint's shutting down. So they told all the headliners that they weren't going to do the travel and weren't going to go through with the weekend. When he heard about it, he's coming to Houston anyway. So he's
funny
coming.
Funny dude, though.
Huh?
He's a funny dude.
Funny dude is exactly right. He was on The Tonight Show recently with Jimmy Fallon. So that's a cool deal. You can see more of his stuff and follow him at Shawnee Finnerty, S-E-A-N-Y Finnerty. But we'll have clips 1:15, 2:15, 3:15, and he's supposed to join us at 2:30 live in studio for a segment. So evidently Barry said he's a sports fan too. So we'll catch up with him on his secret group appearance. And just traveling around doing comedy, how he got started, and of course, he's a sports fan, so we'll get into some sports as well. So
yeah, Sean, it's gonna be super interesting. He's gonna sit right there where Barry is sitting in studio, and that's gonna be cool because he is a funny guy. And I think you know the fact that he made this transition over to the States. I think in the clip, I think he said 14 or 15 is when he moved to the United States. I guess we'll clarify that. But all the clips that you'll hear at 2:15 and 3:15 will be from his appearance at the Tonight Show. So
I want you to think about this, Nick. I want you to think about this long and hard.
What?
All right. he's good at making the transition. He made the transition from Ireland to come over to here, yep. right? Now he's dealing with a comedy situation in which he was going to come here and work, and now it's not working out.
Right.
You allude to the fact that next to me is an open chair.
Mm-hmm.
See if he's interested. You know, if other Benedict Arnolds want to go to other shows, then maybe Mr. Finnerty wants to be a suspect.
You're trying to replace Barry Laminette.
See, but I can't do that because I'd rather have you sitting in that chair. Maybe he wants to be a producer and then we'll work him in. We can just work him in a little bit. That'll be fine.
That would be fun.
Getting some disturbing news, Nicholas, and you kind of set the table for me here between texts and tweets. A lot of people saying it ain't going to be cheap if we want to back up Key Dealey Bobber.
Yeah, I forgot what I said. I said 200 or 300. What
yeah,
did I say?
200 to 300, which someone else agreed with you on. Someone else said more around 5, which is not going to happen, by the way.
That means you're going to have to go home and turn that house upside down.
Yep. MC Hammer it, turn this mother out. And at the same time, then the next question becomes, because more likely than not, like I said, because I'm putting the blame on myself. I use it more than anybody. But if it did end up in a pair of shorts that ended up getting washed or jeans, I want to know how durable these remotes are to be able to withstand the soap, water, and dryer.
Oh, and I don't know about all that.
Still work. Because sometimes I've had those kind of things happen where they have, sometimes they haven't.
Maybe if you don't push anything, in the event that it did get stuck in the washing machine,
let it dry out.
Don't use it.
Well, remember like they used to do with cell phones? If you dropped your cell phone in water or something like that, you just take a big cup thing of rice and you put it in the rice. The rice is supposed to absorb the moisture. Did you
really
ever see that?
No.
Yeah. Old school, when your phone got wet and you thought the inside was wet a little bit, you were supposed to dunk it all the way submerged in dry rice. And the rice is supposed to submerge the moisture in the
interesting.
Water.
Yeah. Never thought of that.
Jimmy wants to talk about the key. We'll see what he's got. Jimmy, what's up?
How's it going, guys?
Good, man. How are you?
Pretty good. Well, my truck is 6 years old, and the automatic start went out on my key. And it is $400 to replace the key. That's one key. But once you replace one, you have to replace the other one, because once they reprogram it, the old key is no good.
So you're looking at $800, right?
No, I think the second one's cheaper.
Is it? Jimmy, turn the radio down.
Oh, we lost.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what happens is when you get one key programmed, the second one is cheaper. Because I've done that before. I've lost it on a Honda. I think the first one was like $275. And then the second one was like $75 or $150 or something like that. So, yeah, you might have to get a second key, because I think he's right in regards to the programming part. If they get you a new key and they program it, then you might lose the programming on the first key. So yeah, I'd go home and look for that key. Like,
no doubt
about
it.
That's your number one. That's like your number one priority this weekend.
I can be walking the dogs and all of a sudden go, man, wait a minute. Maybe between the couch cushions, I gotta take all the couch cushions off. Then I'm thinking, well, maybe it's in the dryer catch. Maybe I gotta check that. I'm like, all these different things where I'm like trying to notate where I gotta look this weekend.
The perfect
like,
situation is you go home and then eventually Taylor finds it and like, hey, you want to go drive, Dad? You want to go drive?
No, but that's the big thing. Okay, so that was the other thing I kind of thought about, but then listeners are very savvy and they started tweeting me and they're right. When she gets home from school today, I got to ask her. She can reach, because when we go to school, Lisa puts whatever chungo, which is the hair.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Or, and the ribbon. And she grabs that on her way to the car. So she can reach up there. So when she gets home from school, I'm like, hey, Tay, did you ever see one of these? Do you ever maybe want to play with that or put that somewhere? Because maybe she did that. Because otherwise, like, I'm at wit's end. I'm tearing everything up already. And I know all weekend I'm going to be like that because it's driving me crazy.
Yeah. Usually when I bought my last car that was with, you know, the keys that you have to program, I think it came with two and I got another two.
Really?
Like, yeah, I really did. Because I knew myself. I knew I was going to lose keys. So yeah, and it was expensive, but I'd rather pay. I mean, you're already paying thousands of dollars for a new car anyway. So I just tagged it on. I was like,
Yeah, but now that like that whole thing is worn off for us, like we've had the cars for a while. So I'm like, I don't want that extra expense. I obviously know we got to have a second key.
Yeah, you got to.
But man,
you have to have a second key. The worst thing you can have is not have a second key with a car that's with a key that has to be programmed. You know what I mean? That's like the worst situation.
So the U.S. Open's on, and I know you're not a golfer, so I'm not. But we're going to get this out of the way. Jordan Spieth just hit a really bad shot trying to get out of a bunker, and it kind of stuck at the top of the bunker, and it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I used to be a fan of his. Yesterday at the Open, his caddy, who's been his longtime friend, okay, they're on like the eighth hole, and he hits his tee shot, and he hits it too far, and it goes off a cliff, and it ends up in the hazard. So he takes a drop. And now he's trying to hit the green and save par, and it goes over the green. And the microphone near the golfers, and his caddy's name is Mike, can hear Spieth going, "Real good, Mike. Real nice. First you got me hitting it over the edge of the water. Now you got me hitting it over the green."
No, he's blaming the caddy.
So he blamed the caddy for both shots, and people lost their bleeping mind. All over Twitter, they're writing articles about it. And, of course, the caddy, because he's a smart guy, because he makes a lot of money, caddying too.
Obviously.
Was like, they were all trying to ask him about it right when the round ended. And he was like, "What comments are you talking about? I don't." You know what that tells me? Not one, he's covering for him, but even more so, he gets it so often that he just tunes it out.
Yeah.
That's bad.
And sometimes, honestly, I hate to say it, I think that's the relationship that exists with a lot of people, not just in golf, and they just take it because they know what they're going to get. Like, they know that their partner or their, you know, whoever they're working with is going to bitch at them, and they just take it on the, you know,
their player.
Yeah, they just take it on the, they take it on the chin and just say, you know, that's how he is, and that's how he, you know, that's how he competes. Look, Jordan Spieth obviously has a formula that's worked before.
But here's the thing, Nick. I always go back to this. Do you blame Mr. Goodwrench or do you blame the tools? Because you know your swing, and you're the one that's going to actually swing the club. At the end of the day, is it Mike's fault for giving you a club that you guys agreed upon?
Right.
Or is it your fault for misjudging how far you were going to hit it?
And I couldn't agree more. I guess what I'm saying is maybe he's saying all these things in the middle of competition. And then after he's like, you know, I don't mean those things. Or maybe he's not necessarily apologizing, but he has a relationship with this caddy to the point where the caddy knows that it's not his fault. He knows he's not really blaming him. He's just having a fit. I don't know.
I hope you're right because they've known each other a long time, but I thought that was kind of a D-bag move.
I would agree with that 100%.
All right, we're a half hour in. We got some finals to talk about and a whole bunch of ramifications leading into free agency, amongst other things. Even the GM getting in a little bit of a tussle with the law before he even gets on the court.
Yeah.
Tons to get to on a Friday on the Usual Suspects. It's Nick and Joel in studio. Join us, won't you, right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, Leonard, free throw, good. 114-110. Raptors inbound to Curry, launches one from 70, no good, and it's over. The Raptors have their first championship. They dethrone the dynasty. Toronto in six games beats the Warriors for their first NBA title.
You heard it here right on ESPN 97.5. It was game six of the ESPN radio coverage of the NBA Finals. The Raptors win the series in six. I had the games right, not the eventual winning team.
Right. I picked the Warriors too, but
The last play, you good with that?
Yeah.
That we just played? They only needed 1 point. So I understand that the Raptors were going to double Curry with Clay already out. So they said that that's a Brad Stevens play where he likes to go over the top and make it look like it's almost going out of bounds.
Right.
And while everybody's watching the ball, it frees up your best player, even if you're double teamed.
Right.
Which it very well did. But I thought when you only needed a two, that you could have called some kind of play. With as good as Golden State is about moving without the ball, and I understand they had some bench players that maybe don't shoot it as well, but I just thought they could have got a cleaner, better look with 9.8 than Steph like they did. Although he came off a screen, but he was open.
Looking back in retrospect, I can see why. Yeah, maybe I could have done something a little bit better, but that play worked so well. Like, it almost got Steph Curry too open. I almost wonder if that shot would have fallen had it been a little bit more difficult, kind of like a Gerald Green situation where he's wide open, misses the three pointer, but then he's, you know, someone guards him with unbelievable defense and he just throws up a three pointer on a fadeaway and still makes the shot. The play works. That was such an unbelievable opportunity. And the play,
it looked like it was going out of bounds.
It really did. It really did. And the way he fell out of bounds, it almost, maybe when the guy threw it, whoever the inbounder was, maybe he felt like he put a little too much oomph in that pass and was a little worried there. Thankfully, Draymond Green was able to catch it and
reel it in, yeah,
and give it up to Curry. But I can't help to think what this series would be. And again, not taking anything away from this Toronto Raptors team, what this series would be if Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson were healthy now.
And Klay was playing his ass off till he got hurt.
Yeah, and I saw the tweets about Danny Green. He was going for a block.
I don't think he was trying to hurt him, but he was very aggressive. But again, you're talking about a nip and tuck game that could get you an NBA title. You're not going to just give up. We always used to say, even in pickup ball, you're not going to give up no free layups.
But right. And honestly, Joel, that's the easiest time to be aggressive, where he was in a situation where he was far enough to where when he jumped towards him for the block, that there probably wasn't going to be any body contact. And if you look at the play, there really wasn't any body. It wasn't the way, he blocked the shot that made him, you know, land funny. I mean, it wasn't because of body contact. It was because he didn't expect Danny Green's defense, and then when he fell weird. So that had nothing to do with Danny Green. And
here's the other thing. For as much as Draymond hangs on the rim, that's one where Klay got to the rim in time to dunk it. He should have hung. Because if he hangs, that's the reason why they don't call technicals all the time on dunks when guys pull and hang on the rim. Because if you're in any kind of danger on the landing,
let him hang.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let him hang. And yeah, that, because I remember that used to be a problem. That to me was a call that, honestly, obviously it's probably in some cases up to the ref, but if I was a ref, I wouldn't make that call. Let him hang, unless it's just so obvious, like he's
well, Draymond taunting. Had one earlier that he really hung, and I thought, dude, I don't know how the rules go about if a hanging on the rim tee constitutes the same thing as an aggressive behavior against right. The ref tee, but that would, if they would have got to a game seven and he got one for hanging on the rim, they could have fought it all they want, but it was pretty legit that he wouldn't have been playing in game seven if that indeed was the case.
So how good do you see this team, this Toronto Raptors team, next year?
I'm going to tell you right now, Nick, here's the analogy for what this Raptors team is going to be next year. It's the Florida Marlins the year after they won the World Series. This is going to be a yard sale. This is going to be a free-for-all of cleaning house. Because first and foremost, I don't care if they want it or not. And you and I talked about it during the break. The way Kawhi responded to Doris Burke, I don't care how kind
zero
of
a commitment there.
He is going to L.A. I believe he's going to the Clippers. I've said that all along. But one way or another, he's from Los Angeles and he's going home. He wants to be where he wants to be. I think that another big story that started breaking last night that's going to be an even bigger story because the Wizards are such a mess too, is the rumors are out there now that Masai Ujiri, the general manager that constructed this whole team for just this season, is being offered $10 million and an ownership stake to go run the Washington Wizards. If you're the general manager and you know your best player who just led you to a championship is skipping town, and you don't know what else you're going to have left around him, or if you're just going to have to start finding homes for some of your best players, especially the guys making a ton of money, you might want to just go with him, go a different direction and go, yeah, it's hard to pass up $10 million a year, ownership stake, total control. I got a title already. I'm out.
And like we were talking about before the show, we don't know if anything is official, but if it is true, I think he absolutely should take that deal. And I think you're right. Realistically, he did what he could. I think he did the best you possibly can with this roster. And when you all said and done, if you told me, look, this is the best I can do with the roster, do you think I can win a championship? And you asked me before the season, in the middle of the season, I probably would say no. I would say this team is probably going to take you far, but they're not going to win a championship. And for him to be able to do that, considering everything that Golden State went through, whether you want to give you blame it on that or give Toronto Raptors credit, regardless, this is going to be a very tough roster to win another championship with come next season, despite the significant injuries that this Warriors core is dealing with, the ACL, with Klay Thompson, and then obviously an incredibly significant injury with the Achilles tendon rupture.
So it's a tale of two teams. When you look at it, I'm like, okay, look, Danny Green has proven almost quicker than Chris Paul that he's fallen off the planet. So the value there is slim and none. Gasol is obviously up there in age, and you have to worry about, again, he's a nice piece if he's a piece to complement Kawhi and company. And the biggest thing, and you know I'm tight with Kyle, but and I love him to death, and I'm not mad at him for making his money, but at $30-some million a year for an all-star point guard who's really a traditional point guard who does a lot more by getting the ball to other people than he does when he's being required to score. I don't know if that's going to be a fit. Siakam's going to be a great piece that you hang on to and you build around, and he's cheap. But when you look at some of these other Van Vliet's the same way.
Yeah.
But when you look at it and say, what can I keep this team constructed, or can I construct a team that's going to compete again in the East? I don't think so.
Yeah, and they asked the coach realistically, how far did you think you could go with this team? He's like, look, our goal was to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, you know? And if we made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, then we knew we had a chance in the finals. And that's exact. They were realistic about that. They had a new coach. They had a player in Kawhi Leonard who we all knew was a rental, and we do not know for sure if he's going to re-sign. Right. You get the vibe that he's not. I tend to feel the same way. God, but you talk about two complete sides of the spectrum in terms of Massey. One report saying $10 million, you know, the Washington Wizards might be willing to pay him $10 million a year to be
president. And ownership stake, which is big, because now even if you don't have a job, you're getting an investment.
Which is incredible. And then you have the other side where he's dealing with a case, an investigation regarding battery, because that's he got a little physical thing with a cop. So that's two complete sides. Two different reports within 12 hours.
Does one cancel out the other? Does the incident with the sheriff, and if you don't know about this, Charlie mentioned it on his show, a sheriff deputy that was working the game as security was supposed to keep the court from letting anybody on. Masai Urugi, the GM of the Raptors, tried to get on the court to celebrate with the team. When the deputy went to stop him, there was a confrontation. Supposedly, there was a second confrontation in which Masai made contact with the gentleman's face, but there's no video showing that. There is video of them being separated and screaming back and forth. The league and authorities are investigating. But the question becomes, does something like that cancel out Washington going, ooh, we're not getting into all that?
I think because you look at the situation, he wasn't outside the team acting a fool. It wasn't like alcohol influence.
And it wasn't a full-blown punch.
He wanted to be a part of the trophy celebration. And as that guy being that important of that team, I would want to be out there with the trophy celebration too. So his mistake, or I don't even know if you want to call it a mistake, was him trying to watch the game in the tunnel. And what you do is you're passing a level of security when you go down any tunnel in any arena in basketball. And so you have to have the credentials to move back and forth. Well,
take it a step further, though, Nick. That's just from the tunnel towards the court. When you're winning an NBA championship, the NBA controls security, and they tell those security people, no one, and I mean no one, because they don't want all the people in the organization on the court initially. They just want players, coaches, key personnel, so it makes it even more like a tight ship to get onto that floor.
Right, and the reality is, had the Toronto Raptors won the championship on their home floor,
absolutely,
there's a good possibility that sheriff recognized him and would let him go. But great because point. That sheriff, you know, did not know who he was, you know, he's like, who are you? You can't go back for the trophy celebration.
Right.
You need to stay back. So apparently there was two incidents. According to Brian Windhorst, there was one little, I guess, conflict. The second one involved him putting his hand.
Same guy. From what I understand, two incidents with the same guy.
Same guy.
Initially,
second one,
when he's trying to get on the floor,
yeah,
there's kind of a little bit of a back and forth, maybe a shove. And then before they could get completely separated, a second incident in which supposedly Masai somehow makes contact with the sheriff's face.
I don't know the culture of the front office in Washington, but if it was me, I would look past it. He wasn't under the influence. It wasn't egregious. He obviously, you can't put your hands on an officer, bud. Like you know.
Yeah, I don't care where you are and who you are. You don't do it.
That's, you know, it could be a. I feel like this investigation is really. It could have been a lot worse, I think, for him. So
I agree.
So I mean.
All right, so we got to get to a break. When we come back from it, I want to tell you guys about two things. One, Nick, we were just talking about the two teams in the NBA Finals. One of them already, including and considering free agency and otherwise, is still the favorite to win it again next year. And you'll be surprised at which team it is. As well as, I've got a stat for you based on that first thing we talked about in the Finals. Was it a good shot, and were you good with Steph Curry taking that shot at that time? I got some mind-boggling numbers since 2001 about people and players shooting that last shot. We got that and a whole lot more coming up, including a second clip from our comedian of the week. And he'll join us in studio at 2:30. So lots to going on here on an FEF Friday, right here on ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You know, I never want to see, a good friend of mine go out like that. I hope he's able to, you know, recover from it or, you know, nothing's serious. And I just, when he went down, I just really thought about him. I didn't care about the game that much. And, you know, once he left, we got to flip our mindset back to like trying to beat the Warriors.
Kawhi Leonard on a guy that he played a lot, I would believe, in high school against, both California Hoopers. Klay Thompson, the son of Michael Thompson, the ex-Laker. Klay's a California kid and Kawhi from the L.A. area. So I would assume that they crossed paths and maybe that's how they got to be buddies.
I guess that's how they, yeah.
But tough deal last night, tough landing for Klay, and of course, already shorthanded when you put the Warriors in that predicament, and Looney's already dinged up too, and we've talked about that their bench isn't exactly deep anyway, really put the Warriors behind the eight ball, and I thought somehow, some way, they were still going to pull it out, lose all three games on their home floor in the finals, and that's just unheard of if you're the Warriors.
That's probably not the way they wanted to end it, with Oracle and then moving right to a new arena, but they had a great run there. So I guess it's a bittersweet situation, but the decisions that the Golden State Warriors had to make regarding their roster before the advent of the injuries, the Kevin Durant Achilles injury and the Klay Thompson ACL injury, it was already an incredibly big task and super difficult. Now you have those decisions to make, and the considerations that you have to make with Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant's injury. I don't know if KD's gone. I feel like if I had to pick between KD and Kawhi, I would probably pick Kawhi as a guy that's more likely to leave. But, God, both of these teams had big decisions to make. I feel like the decisions for Toronto this offseason is going to be a bit easier. Because, look, even if Kawhi leaves, you got a championship out of the situation. And you knew you had to get better regardless. But for Golden State, you want to keep this core intact. You want to keep this run going for as long as possible. I think the Golden State Warriors are going to have a much more difficult time dealing with the offseason and going into the season than the Raptors do. So it's going to be an interesting situation.
Yeah, you know, because as I mentioned earlier this week, if they do max out Klay and KD and do the quote unquote right thing as the organization, they face up to $380 million in cap tax for the luxury tax for going over. And then there's the repeat offender tax, which gets tacked on depending on how many years you repeatedly are over the cap. So if you're looking at $380 mil and you've got ownership, they don't want all that. And then you know, look, there's a chance you'll get Klay back about February or March. But KD, I said it the day it happened to Barry. I said, look, you might be in the exact same situation a year from now where you're hoping KD comes back, only it's not an injury that he got after he was averaging 30-some a game and playing his ass off in the playoffs. You may be looking at it going, when can he come back to help this team? And they're not. I don't think they're going to be a top four seed because it's going to be Draymond, Steph and another cast of misfits.
And I feel like that's the sentiment for a lot of experts, a lot of media guys, pundits in the game. They're like, you know, maybe next year may not be the Golden State Warriors team. They're probably still going to be a playoff team, but all things considered, if the Warriors make it to the Western Conference Finals and lose next year, is that a complete failure of the season with all things considered?
Not with all the injuries and everything. I don't think it is. I'm with you. I think that if they were able to do something like that, and again, it could be that wild card waiting. It's like the best relief pitcher in baseball in the bullpen coming back from injury right before you go to the World Series. If KD's warming up and there's a chance that you get over the hump or you're in a tough series trying to get to the Western Conference Finals and he can help you out, you're in a great spot.
I think KD's still going to get the max contract. Obviously, they're going to have to deal with, and when I mean max contract, I don't know if it necessarily comes from Golden State. I think the decision to do it is obviously a yes. It's whether or not, like you mentioned, you want to pay that luxury tax. You have to keep this core. I don't see how else.
Well, I don't think you survive otherwise, because you're over the cap with Steph's contract and some of the other contracts. You're going to have to pay Draymond. You know you've been getting a fairly decent deal out of KD where he took less. But if you want to try at all to be in the conversation to keep him, you're going to have to pay. So you're not going to have any cash to play with. The one thing that you can do if KD stays is you can get an injury exception, but that's only for a mid-level, so that's only between 5 and 9. You might be able to get a veteran that wants to win a ring that comes off your bench, but you're not going to get the dominant type player that you need to replace Kevin Durant.
Right. So the injury exception allows them, they still have to pay the money to Kevin Durant, obviously, but it doesn't necessarily go against the cap.
Right.
Well,
it's like an insurance policy. So you got that. And now here's the thing, Nick, with all the things that you just said, and I don't disagree with them, let me blow your mind a little bit. The Vegas odds came out as to who's the favorite to win it all next year. And they said that they are taking into consideration free agency and other things. Would you believe that the Warriors are still a 3-1 favorite to win it all?
I can see them being favored more than a lot of other teams. I just don't know with. I don't know if that much, considering KD's injury. That's just a lot to ask.
And Clay. Because Clay's the one that they said slam dunk on both sides. He wants to stay as long as he gets the 5-year max deal. He's staying. So I can see, and the owner said, one of the owners said, I don't know if it was LaCobe or the other guy that said, he's going to be with us for his whole career. That's the way we want it. So you know they want him to stay. I think now that KD knows that there are other teams willing to give him like a redshirt year and pay him.
Yeah.
And he can get more than he can get from Golden State. He'll probably test the market.
How about Clay coming back on the tunnel and then he acts like he's going to stay in the game and Draymond is talking to him like, hey, dude, you need to stand over here. And Clay Thompson, he has to know there's something torn in his knee. Like, there's no way he's on the floor at that point.
Bro,
not knowing
they said, because he had to go, in order, if it wasn't torn, he could come back, but he had to shoot the free throws to do it. So he goes back in, makes both free throws, and runs back on D. And that's when you're talking about, That's when Draymond stops him. But then it gets worse or better, but you can show his toughness. He went back and they had video in the tunnel and in the locker room itself where he was doing sprints. They said he was doing jumping jacks. They said he was trying to prove to everybody, no, I'm good. I'm going back out there on a torn ACL.
Hey, man, look, it was the only time.
I love that.
He was torn. Look, if he was willing to play through that pain, then I'd be trying to sell him on that as well. You know, but it looked so awkward. Even on the replay, I was like, oh. I mean, we've seen worse, but his landing was super awkward.
Didn't you think when he landed, it might have been his ankle? It looked at first like it was a foot ankle thing until I saw him grab the knee.
I didn't see that. I felt like it was a knee. Maybe it was him grabbing the knee that made me feel like it was. But I don't know. I felt like it was.
I thought the way he landed, and I was looking at his lower leg, I thought it was ankle and foot first. But then when he, like you said, when he grabbed the knee, I'm like, oh, God, that's not good.
No, not good at all.
All right, so here's the deal. I'm going to give you the top 10 teams favored to win the title next year. You are not going to be real giddy about where your squad falls. All right? So 3-1 is the Warriors, followed by the Lakers at 2. So they're assuming free agents are coming. The Bucks at 3, Clippers at 4, Raptors at 5, and your Houston Rockets at 10-1. 6th, according to Las Vegas odds.
What do they know that we don't?
I can tell you the one thing that they know that made them at least more hopeful than they were three, four days ago, is without KD and Clay, they still got a shot maybe for one more year in the West, depending on how free agency goes. So we can talk about that. We can talk about a whole lot of other things as well. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.